Carl Merry has returned yet again with yet another of his Essex tales, and this one, I believe, is all to do with dragons, is it not?
A serpent, a dragon, a worm, all names for dragons. Essex has a number of dragon stories, and this one is the Barbary Serpent.
Right. Tell us all.
It was the night of a great storm, and a ship had made its way in to the Thames estuary to hide from the tall waves that had been battering it all night. And as soon as they entered the estuary and sailed a little way up the Thames, things calmed, and the men could reef in the sails and sleep for the night. But coiled up on the deck, looking for all the world like a thick coil of rope, was a serpent, a dragon, all the way from Barbary. These Barbary merchants had brought it with them and never known. And with the ship at anchor in the Thames, the serpent awoke, raised up its head, and slid over the bow of the boat into the dark, dank, cold waters of the Thames. And not being used to such cold waters, the serpent swam up the river, searching for somewhere where it could get out. And finally it reached a sandy shore and hoisted itself out up onto the shoreline, and it once more curled itself around itself and slept till morning. And when morning came and the sun shone a little warmth upon the serpent, it woke and it began to make its way across country, eating the odd cow that it came across. And it made its way to West Horndon. And there, tired from its journey, it went into a churchyard and wrapped itself around the gravestone and fell fast asleep. Well, a young girl was out that morning picking blackberries. And she'd picked a few, and her basket was half full, and well, she knew that there was a good blackberry bush in the churchyard. And she made her way to the churchyard, and she was skipping along towards the blackberry bush when she saw, coiled around the gravestone, the enormous serpent. And she screamed, and it woke, and it raised its head and fixed her with its yellow eyes. And the little girl turned and ran down to the village. And she told everyone she met about the dragon, about the serpent, and where it was. And the people of the village knew what to do. Well, they had to go up to Heron Hall to see Sir James Tyrrell, the knight of the parish. Sir James Tyrrell would know what to do. Sir James Tyrrell was a knight. Surely, in his armour, he would be able to slay this serpent, just like St. George had killed the dragon. And so some of the villagers went up to Heron Hall, and they told Sir James about the dragon and how they hoped that he would kill it. And to be honest, he was not best pleased, for this was not the sort of adventure that the elderly James Tyrrell was keen on. But his family's honour was at stake, and, well, his family had not been welcome at court for many, many years, not since one of his ancestors had accidentally and the New Forest shot William Rufus, the then king. And he was hoping that by killing a dragon he would restore some of his family's status and they'd once more be welcomed at court. And so he got out his suit of armour. And he got out his sword and he sharpened it, he honed it until it was razor sharp. And then he took down from the wall a mirror and he hung the mirror over his chest, so that all who looked at him could see their reflection. And his wife said, what are you doing that for, husband? Why are you carrying a mirror to fight a dragon? And Sir James said, do you not know that serpents, that worms, that dragons are the vainest of creatures? And if they see themselves reflected in the mirror, this dragon will just pause a moment to admire itself. And that moment is all I will need to cut off its head. And so Sir James made his way down to the graveyard. And by now the serpent was fully awake, and it was reared up. Sir James walked up to it, brandishing his sword, and the serpent made towards him. But seeing its reflection in the mirror, it paused. It posed just for a moment. And that was all it took. Sir James swept his sword from side to side and sliced off the serpent's head. And it lay there dead in the churchyard. And Sir James, he picked up the serpent's head and he carried it back to Heron Hall and he plonked it in the courtyard of his hall, and his wife and his son came out and the servants came out and they all told him what a brave chap he was. But his son was keen to see the rest of the serpent, and he ran off down to the village. And his wife, just James Tyrrell's wife, helped him off with the armour. And she gave him a great big hug, an enormous embrace, and maybe she squeezed too hard, or maybe the excitement of killing the dragon was too much, for Sir James Tyrrell died there in her arms. As for the son, he ran down to see the dragon's body. He ran straight into the graveyard, and not looking where he was going, he tripped over the dead body of the serpent and broke his leg. And he was carried back to Heron Hall. And unfortunately, the leg began to rot. And within months, Sir James Tyrrell and his son had both been entombed in the family vault. Should you go to Heron Hall, all that is left of Sir James Tyrrell, his son, and the Barbary serpent is a stained glass window that depicts the episode.
Well, what can I say for follow that? I do recall that there are quite a lot of Essex tales all about dragons.
There are a number of dragon tales, yes. There's the crocodile. There are quite a few.
Quite a few of them, yeah.
We might return to them at some point.
That is truly an amazing story. So what have you got for us lined up next week then, Carl?
Well, next week we're back to the Vikings.
Right.
And we're back to Mersey Island and the great burial mound that is on Mersey Island.
Right. Well, we look forward to that. All about the burial mound on Mersey Island. Thank you.